This is The View from Halfway Down, an episode-by-episode analysis of the Netflix original series BoJack Horseman.
That's Sebastian. They're the BoJack Horseman expert.
And that's Alexandra. She is the expert on being pretentious.
We try to avoid character and plot spoilers on this show, but minor things are bound to slip by. And of course, this is going to contain major spoilers for up to the current episode, which is episode 3. What's the title of this episode?
It's episode 4.
4?
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Well, you should have corrected, like, I wrote 3, like, everywhere on the script.
I didn't notice.
Okay, so the first episode is... What's the first episode?
The first episode was the one before BoJack eats the troops.
Okay. Oh, right. Prickly Muffin was the third episode. Yeah. I see. Yeah, okay, so episode 4, Zoe's and Zelda's.
Yes.
Which I think is... already we know what our discussion question is going to be. And I'm very excited to get into that part of the podcast.
Me too.
Actually all I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about the terrible act that BoJack does in this episode.
Yeah, let's just skip over it.
Yeah, that's right. It's just not fun.
I'm a Zelda, so I don't watch those parts.
You're not a Zelda. You're a Zoe pretending to be a Zelda. Let's get into it so listeners who haven't listened in a while actually know what that is. So we open with BoJack at a comedy club. He's really terrible. He's making horse jokes.
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
They're horse shit. It's not. Don't reward me. And afterwards, he gets a talk from a sort of mentor figure, someone else in the comedy community. Of course, when he shows up, BoJack just knows him as a heckler and says, "Get cancer, jerkwad." I quote.
Which is great because it's Herb.
Yes.
And Herb does get cancer, as we know.
We found out he gets ass cancer.
He gets ass cancer.
So, great little foreshadowing, I guess.
Yeah, it was funny.
Or post-shadowing?
Post-shadowing.
Or is that just shadowing?
Shadding.
Shadding? That's the joke you want to make?
Yes.
Okay. Who says that he feels it's his responsibility for Big Shots to look out for the little guy. And we cut to the present, and BoJack has gotten that turned around, that little guys have a responsibility to support the Big Shots like me.
Yes.
And then we get to the intro.
Yeah, on the intro, it's kind of funny. So in the third episode, if you guys remember, Todd breaks BoJack's bed. Like I think he's like jumping on it or something, and one of the little stands breaks. So in the... In the intro song, you can see that there's a bunch of books, like, propping up the broken bed now, which is a really interesting little thing. You can barely see it, too.
So then they updated the whole intro little bed change.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering if they do that with, like, a lot of little details. So I guess that's just something to keep an eye out for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't even know what else they would change, considering it's, like, only a couple shots of his house and then like a superstore and that's about it.
They'd only change that first part
unless if some of them like lose an eye or something and then they would have like an eye patch, just hypothetically speaking.
Oh yeah, that happened to a few characters.
A few like a little like epidemic of losing eyes.
All right, well anyways,
so we get to the first important scene here where they're at dinner. BoJack and Todd and Mr. Peanut Butter and Diane and Diane's ex-boyfriend Wayne, who is writing a BuzzFeed article on Mr. Peanut Butter.
Yes,
where we introduce the idea of Zoe's and Zelda's, two characters on Mr. Peanut Butter's show. Zelda's are the extroverted, happy-go-lucky, you know, optimist,
mm-hmm.
and Zoe's are the cynical and mean...
Intelligent,
but pessimistic and clearly sad.
Yes.
And here we get into the first... just a really big dichotomy of this episode.
Yeah, and it presents a really big theme of the whole show, and I think that this allows, like, a lot for us to see throughout all the characters. They made the Zoe characters, which are the most, like, more pessimistic archetype. They made them more PC, which I guess makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So, like, more just, like, aware of the world's problems, I guess.
Yeah.
Whereas the Zeldas are just, like, everything's fine and
they're
happy.
They're a little bit oblivious, but they are happier, and Zoes are more, I guess, depressive, which mm-hmm. is, again, just something that we keep talking about. It's mm-hmm. apparently a huge thing in the show.
Okay, let's real quick sort everyone on the show into Zoe's and Zelda's.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, give me the names of the characters and I will sort them.
Mr. Peanut Butter.
Zelda, obviously.
Diane.
Zoe. Okay. Pretending to be a Zelda, apparently, but just a Zoe. Just a Zoe all the way through.
Yeah. Bojack.
Zoe.
Mm-hmm. Todd.
Zelda. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Princess Carolyn.
That one I was thinking about. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't... Is she... I think... Okay.
I think she's a Zoe.
She performs Zelda, but I think on the internal level, she is a Zoe. I think she's a Zoe. But she does perform Zelda, I think, because, like, that's the show she has on. Yeah, for her job and everything. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, a really obscure character. What about Tom, Jumbo Grumbo?
Oh, Jumbo Grumbo. Zoe. Yeah, I think Zoe.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he's more of a Zelda.
What about Neil Beal, the Navy SEAL?
He's definitely a Zelda. With that bit with the bucket on Mr. Peanut Butter's head?
That's true. That's true. He is kind of dumb.
He's definitely a Zelda.
Okay, okay.
Moving on.
I had a couple more things to say about that. I mean, not with the game, but...
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, just... My immediate thought upon hearing that you can sort everyone in the world into Zoes and Zeldas, the two genders.
I was just more thinking, it actually reminded me of that scene in Donnie Darko, I think that was what it was, where there's, like, you're just supposed to sort your emotions by either it stemming from love or fear, and he goes on this whole rant about how that's just, like, ridiculous, and you cannot possibly define all human emotion to be love or fear. My initial response to hearing the Zoe or Zelda thing was like, well, that's oversimplifying things. But upon thinking about it for just two more seconds, I was like, well, not really. I mean, obviously it's complicated, but it really does make sense.
It's a problem when you, like, expand it out and try to apply it, like, with a super broad brush, like, all people who are aware of the problems of the world are, like, sad. Which, like, some aren't, you know? Right. They're aware, but they aren't sad. Or the reverse is true.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone who is happy is ignoring all the problems in the world. But it is interesting, because it's one of those things where you can divide everything into binaries. Masculine and feminine are a binary you can divide everything into. And if you ask any of the Latin languages, you can divide chairs into feminine and masculine.
This is true, and other
furniture. I think that's the primary purpose of gender signifiers in languages, to find out if chairs are down, you know, to fuck.
I mean. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting. To get back to the actual show, Bojack's response is that someone asking him if he's a Zoe or a Zelda, right? He says, "Oh, I think I'm above this." And then someone's like, "Oh, that's such a Zoe thing to say," which is like, it's true. And he's not like, what does that mean that you're above this, right?
Mm.
Like, you don't want to be, like, labeled, but, like, that doesn't take you out of the system.
Maybe
right?
His initial reaction was kind of like mine.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like, oh, this is, like, clearly, like, dumb and then not actually, like, this doesn't really have any depth to it. I think that Bojack and Diane are, like, kind of something that the audience can put ourselves into them, and they tend to say the things that we're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely more so Diane, probably, but I know somebody actually mentioned that in our Discord. I can't remember who it was. But, so that's literally exactly what I was thinking, and then he said exactly that, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the scene ends with Todd, an ongoing thing that we're setting up in the beginning of this episode is how Bojack just shits on Todd, like, constantly.
Yeah, virtually almost abusing him.
Yeah, and Todd ends up saying something like, I'm useless and worthless, I don't have a job, like, I'm just a parasite. And then Bojack's like, see, you say something to someone enough times and they internalize it. The system works. And that just really got to me.
Yeah, it was really... I am looking forward to talking more about Todd later on because... Yeah, I mean, he very clearly has a side of him that is really just, like, not... It's just, like, very unhappy and unsatisfied, and he's upset because he doesn't express himself. He's not, like flourishing at all. It's revealed that he didn't even graduate high school, and he doesn't talk about this a lot, but, I mean, clearly... It makes him super upset and
even
insecure.
Though he actually is really talented.
He's very
talented. He does
all
this crazy shit all the time.
Yeah.
Organizes a quinceanera, no problem.
So he actually reminds me a lot of, if you've seen Always Sunny in Philadelphia, he reminds me a lot of Charlie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in this whole show, he is, like, the comedic relief, and, you know, all the other characters are kind of terrible, but, like, on the rare occasion that he's given the opportunity to express his, like, creativity and show his potential, he is, like, the most talented person there.
Right.
But nobody is nurturing his abilities, right. And no one is encouraging him even in the slightest to pursue these things that he has convinced himself that he has nothing to offer.
Right, right. Yeah, we'll definitely get more into that because the main thing going on this episode is that Todd reveals he has been working on a rock opera for a long time, which we do get the title of one moment. Newtopia Rising, Book 1, The Search for a New Utopia. And it's apparently a space-themed opera.
Now, I'm thinking sequel here.
I hated it so much because it was like you hear the title, you're like, oh, that's what it's implying, and then fucking Mr. just like has to say the most obvious thing in the world,
but he says it like he came up with it. Yeah, like he's a genius.
Yes. Oh god, he's the worst. Todd puts on a performance apparently like 5 hours long to all of the friends. BoJack immediately wetly shits all over it,
says it's like 100 9/11s.
Which
is pretty good.
He also says later that it's like, he says, you know, the Holocaust, it's like if that
happened like every the Olympics. 4 years.
Oh, it's terrible. Oh my god. So I have a couple things here that I wrote down as I was watching the scene where Todd puts on his little performance, which is it's bad but with so much heart.
It's
right?
True. Yeah.
BoJack does not pay it forward, the whole, you know, mentors gotta look out for little guys.
Yeah.
And I also have, bad papa is what I wrote down.
What does that mean?
I mean that BoJack is a bad dad. He's a bad daddy.
He's a bad daddy.
He's gonna give Todd daddy issues. Actually, I think that's already happened.
That could be very true.
No, like, I definitely think that is what's happening this episode. It comes up a couple times. So, the next scene is where Diane is talking to him.
Yeah.
Focuses in on his relationship with Todd and says, puts out forward the idea that maybe the reason that he shits on Todd all the time is because he's afraid that if Todd gets too good, he's gonna leave. And then BoJack will be all alone. And he's saying this, and he's denying it. And then in the background, after he's saying that he, like, loves being alone and all these things, and there's a bunch of pictures of him in the background with all these people from his show that he, like, loved.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all, like, gone, right?
Yeah.
But out of spite, BoJack says that he's going to nurture Todd. And so we start getting a montage of them planning out how to make this rock opera work.
And BoJack starts getting really into it.
Yeah, well, he starts first by being terrible to Todd.
Mm-hmm.
While, like, this montage happens with him having sex with Princess Carolyn a lot.
This must be, like, some Princess Carolyn, we don't get to see much about her life until later on, but, like,
yeah, we get some insight onto now, like, the fact that she is having bad sex, not good sex, bad sex with BoJack Horseman right now. Really implies that she's not doing very well right now. Maybe she didn't get Andrew Garfield and she's upset.
Right, right. So, the first time they're having sex and BoJack just continually asks if she's close and then if she's gonna come. And she's just like, I'm not, what do you...
It's like, you're not even inside me. And then in the next scene, she's not even in the room.
Yeah, and he's asking if she's coming. He's just fucking, like, his bed. Not even, like, a pillow. His bed. I don't know what's going on there, Boj.
God.
See, there's a freaky sex thing every episode.
Yeah, Princess Carolyn deserves better is the conclusion of that. But
someone get Princess Carolyn a girlfriend.
But yeah, then we see Peanut Butter and Diane talking, and he's talking about how he really wants to go to this, like, thing where they get burritos,
mm-hmm.
like, bigger than their head.
Mm-hmm.
And Diane kind of says, like, oh, like, I really wanted to go to the Diane Arbus thing. I'm not sure what it was. Diane Arbus is, like, I looked it up. She's a very important photographer from New York.
Oh, cool.
Like, a pretty long time ago. So this is initially, as soon as we see this, we're like, oh, this is a Zoe and Zelda thing. And they're arguing about it. And later on, we see a scene with them back at BoJack's place. And they're wearing T-shirts that say, I ate a burrito the size of my head.
I didn't notice.
Yeah. And then, so, you know, they never reached a conclusion in that argument, but then you see them wearing the shirts after and you're like, okay, they so went and got the burritos.
Right. They ignored Diane's needs. Yeah.
But then PB gives Diane tickets to the next Diane Arbus show in San Francisco. So he was like,
yeah, my thing is more important today, but I'll get yours tomorrow, which is better.
Yeah, I think that maybe he also, I don't want to speak too positively of Mr. Peanut Butter, but like, I mean, I think that he wants Diane to do fun things and maybe he sees it as almost fixing her a little bit. Maybe. Like, oh, she'd be so much happier if we just did this thing because this thing makes me happy.
Mm. This is a lot of reading into them getting tacos as big as their heads. Yeah. But
I want one of those shirts.
Why?
It's funny. I need a burrito bigger than my head.
Okay.
It's also cute that they were both wearing them. Yeah. It's just adorable. And she clearly had fun or she wouldn't be wearing the t-shirt.
Right,
she
right.
She had a good time.
Yeah. She would have taken it off otherwise. No, she wouldn't have actually. No, she would have kept it on if she hadn't had a good time.
But I
do think that she did.
I think she had fun.
But okay. Yeah, I think I have down for that scene, PB sucks, I wrote down.
Because of,
Because he was just being so annoying with, he goes, you say tomato, tomato, I say tomato, tomato. It just bothered me so much. Also, they're doing a bit this whole episode about,
fool me once.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, and then they say
some random thing.
The last one with Todd saying it is fool me, literally, chicken soup and rice.
Whenever that happened, I was like in that scene, very much like in a space where I could maybe cry. Like, I was at that point,
and it had just started to feel like that, and then he says, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, chicken and rice. And I just fucking lost my shit.
It's good. But going back, so yeah, they're having this montage of BoJack actually listening to Todd, and they actually really, really work on it, as you said, they get into it. And at one point, they go and get lunch together. One, I just want to real quick jot down that a guy orders steak, and then the waitress
is a cow
and like shames him for eating steak. And I'm just... The questions.
They'll be answered.
I can't wait. Okay. But one, we get another little flash of Todd's like insane background where apparently he was being chased by the Russian mafia.
A Russian mafia.
And the way he like casually corrects him. Oof, it's good. It's good. But BoJack actually getting to know him for once. And this is where Todd talks about his past and how, he had maybe like a lot of potential, but then he got this game, Decapathon.
Decapathon 7?
Was it 7?
Yes. I believe
the new one was 7. I don't know if the original was.
Yeah, I don't know then.
I don't know either, but I think it would be by logic that this would be the new one that they get.
Yeah.
Okay. He got really into it and he just totally flunked out of everything until he got finally kicked out of his house. It's really sad, and it just really feels like, oh, he's like an addict. He's not a fuck up. He's an addict, right. And now he's a fuck up because he's been so discouraged. But, I think that's an interesting lens to look at it. And I think the ending, I think from that angle definitely makes a lot of sense. But
yeah.
Also, BoJack real quick gets a call from the birds who have pictures of him having sex with Prickly Muffin, and he just ignores them as a spam call.
Having sex with Prickly Muffin?
Prickly Muffin, yeah. Prickly Muffin.
Sarah?
Yeah, Sarah Lynn, Prickly Muffin, a.k.a. Prickly Muffin, also known as...
I do not want to call her that throughout the show, but you do that.
I mean, like, that's what he was calling her in those pictures.
Ugh. Ew. Gross.
Speaking of daddy issues, Van Cleef, apparently a big... rock opera guy shows up.
I looked him up. He's not real. Oh, okay. I was very curious.
Well, he's a moose, so.
Yes. He's a moose. A meese.
A meese.
A meese.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A meesing.
No.
I should cut that one, right?
Yes.
I'll put it at the end of the episode. He shows up and listens to Todd's polished opera. And it says that it's spellbinding. His voice acting is great.
It was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. and asks Todd to put on a performance for, or
for like investors.
Yeah, to see if it's like worth making into a real show, to do it in 6 weeks. And so he gets really excited. And Diane approaches BoJack and says, "Hey, I'm so proud of you for supporting Todd here." Todd shows up and says, "Oh yeah, when this is, you know, if this goes well, then I might actually be able to move out." And then BoJack clearly like panics and he doesn't want to be alone.
Yeah, something like visibly definitely shifted in his mindset whenever she said that. Anna, you know, I was thinking, like, he's obviously freaking out so much because he thinks Todd's going to leave and he can't handle being alone. But, I mean, like, if he asked – I feel like if he asked Todd to stay, like, just, like, had a heart-to-heart and was like, "Hey, man, like, it would be really good for me, like, if you stayed, like, you can have this, like, the guest room or whatever," Todd probably would. He's a good friend. Right, he cares about BoJack. And also, it's, like, a free place to stay.
Yeah.
He would totally do that. But – BoJack is not going to be that vulnerable with Todd and express that, which...
So he has to do the thing that he's about to do.
Yeah.
I also want to... So they talk about empty nest syndrome for a second. There's a bit where he has a flashback where, like, it's really bad when you push someone out of that nest too soon, and the flash is back to him with, like, a girl who's a bird, and they're looking out the window at the ground and saying, "It's not your fault. It's not your fault." So they pushed a baby kid bird out of a window and he died.
With all their animals.
Died.
That's how it works.
In the animal kingdom?
Yes.
You push them out of windows?
Yes.
And they die?
Yeah.
That dark, dark past. but that BoJack definitely is having like an empty nest syndrome, which is why I put Bad Papa. Because he's clearly like got some daddy issues.
Which
about.
He does this a lot. Mm-hmm. He tries to be like a parental figure, but in like a very like self-beneficial way. Mm-hmm. And then he fucks all these young kids up.
And so or fucks much. Them.
Yeah, maybe him and Todd. They did have their threesomes.
At
that's
least.
True.
Yeah.
I wonder if that fucked Todd up at
what
all.
If that's just like a background thing? That like, that's why they live together.
Oh, they just, they have sex all the time?
Yes.
Who's a top, who's a bottom?
I mean, there's clear power dynamic in this
nothing
relationship.
Nothing comes to me initially on that. I don't know.
It's BoJack. BoJack's the top.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Get that big ol'.
I feel like you would hurt snout. Todd. Anyways.
Apologies.
This is whenever the episode kind of starts getting really upsetting.
Yeah, I have written down here, no, in my notes, because it's the night before Todd's big day.
Mm-hmm. They go to get snacks at the gas station.
And in with all of the Dime's CDs is Decapathon 7. And Todd sees it and he convinces himself that he should buy it. BoJack saying, "No, don't buy it. No, you can't. Don't do that."
And then he buys it.
And then he buys it. Because the chameleon snapped the dime. And,
yes.
Yep. But they go back to the place and Todd is like trying to resist it, but he just can't. And BoJack's telling him, "You got it. You can't."
But he doesn't
do it.
Take it from him. He just goes to bed. He's like,
"Yeah,
all right,
BoJack leaves.
I'm going to bed."
Leaves on that last
he
day.
Should have been helping him finish that last song too.
And then of course Todd stays up the whole night playing video games. And that's where I think it really is a lot like he's an addict is what it is. And it's one of those, it's a mental illness and you can't, you just can't help it.
It doesn't reflect on like his intelligence or like ability at all. It's just like, you know, we all have things like that. That was
just like BoJack can't help doing this to his friends.
Sure.
I don't know if you want to talk more about being an addict before we move into the last bit.
I don't know. I don't feel like it's a huge part of Todd's character. I think that it may just be specific to this thing.
Sure.
But
I mean, he is supposedly addicted to heroin, but it's going to be like a whole thing.
Well, he said he's probably addicted
apparently
to heroin.
Apparently not. But okay, so also real quick though, Decapathon 7 is a Tetris clone. It's Tetris.
Yeah, they have like this big screen showing this really like intense like art on it. Like it's going to be this crazy game. He's so psyched. And yeah, it is just Tetris, which is very cute.
It's funky Tetris.
Yeah. It's honestly all I could expect from wholesome little Todd.
It also makes a lot of sense. Just, I don't know. Tetris is addicting. Like
it is.
Yeah.
It really is.
And so the next day, Todd is a wreck. He's not able to perform at all.
He didn't sleep.
Yeah. And BoJack shows up to his defense and says, screw you, Van Cleef, because he's a good friend. Mm-hmm. And you are going to die alone and unloved, is what he says. And that's the projecting thing again.
Obviously, yeah.
But he won't die. BoJack won't die alone and unloved because he has Todd. Todd will never leave.
They get home and he gives him like the closet so he can put his stuff
in
there.
Yeah, the smallest. Yeah, finally giving a tiny concession after it was like threatened that Todd might leave.
It's just so like manipulative.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's get into the real manipulation. Also, real quick, as he leaves, he says, suck a dick, dumb shits. So I just.
He's got Sarah Lynn on his mind, probably.
Yeah. But okay, our last scene. Wayne is talking to Diane.
Right.
We found out that he's not actually writing, or he has been writing a BuzzFeed article, but like hasn't been for a while. He's just been hanging around to be around Diane.
Yeah.
Which is really creepy. He says that Mr. Peanut Butter is not good for her. Diane is pretending to be a Zelda when she's actually a Zoe.
Mm-hmm. He says, you and me were Zoes, and there's a darkness in you that you will never be able to... You can try to bury it in burritos as big as the size of your head, but someday it'll come out. Which was, like, I think that was great.
Yeah.
It was really
and he
good.
Says, when it does, call me.
Yeah.
And he... So... And Diane says that she likes Mr. Peanut Butter because... He is happy and loyal and generous and just good, and Wayne was mean and cynical and sad.
Yeah.
As Wayne is going through his spiel, talking about how people don't change, we get a flashback. So he talks about how people don't change really. Like once you either, you know, are a happy person or you are a sad person that is aware of like all this sadness. And as he says all this stuff, we see BoJack returning Decapathon to Best Buy from the place that he bought it, and then going to character actress
Margot Martindale,
and she says, "I don't like what we did here today." And he says, "It never happened." We finally finish the episode, and we see a receipt under Todd's sleeping on the couch.
Yeah,
a receipt for Decapathon 7 because. Yeah. Because it was BoJack that bought it from Beast Buy.
Now, I, like, looked a little bit around Reddit recently, and I found this thread that was asking people, when did you start to, like, what was the episode that made you realize that this show was going to be a little darker than you expected, or that BoJack wasn't good? And a lot of people actually brought up that one specifically, which was surprising to me because he's done some pretty shitty stuff.
Right.
But
he didn't do that many shitty things before now, right?
Yeah. But yeah, this
I mean,
one...
he has sex with, Sarah Lynn. That was bad, but yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely bad.
But this was a betrayal. And it was, the thing that is so awful about it is the, like... He comes in and sweeping in as if he's like a good friend to Todd when he's betrayed him on this fundamental
and really,
level.
The whole thing, like just because he can't communicate these emotions that he's having, Todd is going to feel like this is his fault. He's himself.
Yeah.
And he's just convinced this happened because he is just destined to be a fuck up and to be a failure, and that he doesn't have talent and he's never going to make it. Which is not true, and he totally could have. But yeah, BoJack isn't going to tell him that, so it's going to be even worse for him to deal with.
Yeah. It does seem like Todd, we talked about, he internalizes all of this, like, I'm a fuck-up kind of stuff. I think it's like, that's how he becomes okay with it, is like, it's not so bad that I messed up here because I didn't have a chance anyway.
Yeah, it's just like, I just am a fuck up.
Yeah, because he says it like that too. He says it like that, as in like, he says, he talks about how sad he is that this didn't work out, but then goes, well, guess I'm just a fuck up, and then just kind of moves on.
Yeah.
And yeah, that simplification of just like putting himself down.
It's just avoiding responsibility too, but like, it's not his fault. It's just because, yeah, like that's kind of how... Yeah.
Because he's an addict, and yeah. Hmm. It's not like he went out and got it himself. It was literally
true.
Placed there in the dime.
He didn't choose to go seek it out. Yeah. He knew it was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely, like, resonate with all of that a lot.
He doesn't even protest when BoJack goes to get rid of it. He doesn't even say, no, I want to play a little bit more. Nothing. He's just like, yeah, it was bad for me.
Yeah. Yeah, because he wants to do better. I feel like that's something that probably both of us can relate to a little bit.
Yeah, because I feel like if I was in that situation and I fucked up really big by getting into a video game like that, I feel like fucking up that hard, I would just, like, I would keep the video game and dive even harder into, like, destroying myself.
Yeah, like, you'd hate yourself. Yeah. But it'd be like, well,
I'd be like,
this
well, I deserve
just...
it. This is my hell. Yeah. I made for myself. I'm going to lie in it. I'm going to dig deeper because at least I get to play Decapathon 7 on my way down.
Well, I know that, like, for me personally, it was a lot because, like, I only very recently have been, like, being creative again and, like, making a lot of really cool stuff and, like, doing the show and everything. But... yeah, I mean, like, before that, like, and I think a lot of artists can also just relate to this because there's the whole starving artist thing of, like, well, you know, creation and these things are just, like, not, like, a tangible thing for you to do, and they're, like, not beneficial for anyone, and it won't do you any good within your life. And that was definitely how, like, I was raised, and, like, I mean, like, we've talked about it before, but, like, I was definitely raised as, like, a lost cause from the very beginning.
Really?
Yeah, like, my parents never even mentioned me going to college. They, all throughout high school, they didn't even know how to look at my grades. They didn't try to look at my grades. And it was, yeah, just, like, I told them that I was probably just going to be a waitress. And they were like, yeah, that makes sense. And, jeez. Like, I just figured that was what I was going to do. And I was fine with that because that's just all I thought that I could do. But, like, now...
yeah, that's terrible considering, like, how fucking... I don't know, awesome and...
well, I didn't know that. I didn't think that I had anything like that.
You've always had a lot of potential. I mean, everyone does, but, like...
yeah, well, it just, like, it wasn't nurtured. Same thing as Todd. Like, he just wasn't brought up in the way that he should have been. But, yeah, I mean, this past year, like, I've been around, like, people that have been a lot more encouraging about those things and supportive, which literally made the world of difference. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy and I'm making lots of things. And, it is really crazy... how big of a difference that can make.
Yeah. So, I mean, if saying something negative to someone enough times gets them to neutralize it, that's the system that works.
Yeah.
Maybe the inverse is true, too. I think that's what a lot of therapy is for, is with positive affirmations and stuff. I've been trying to work with those. It's hard. Yeah. Well, okay. This is kind of getting to a whole other thing, and I'll expand upon it in other episodes, I guess. But I've been thinking a lot about how much we need, like, stories for ourselves, and how, especially when it comes to changing ourselves, that we need, like, stories about change and stories that tell us, hey, now that this thing is true, I can change. Because sometimes we kind of don't let ourselves or don't believe that we can. Like, the depression is this really weird trap, right, where... you can't do something because of depression. It's making it too hard to do it. But then you internalize, oh, I can't do that thing because of my depression. So that makes you try less, right?
You just adapt to it.
Right. But if you don't give yourself that leeway, then you just hate yourself. And then it still remains very hard to do it. So you have to, like, constantly... you have to be lying to yourself, I can do all the things I want to do, right? But also forgive yourself constantly for not being able to.
Exactly,
and it's really, really hard to keep up that double narrative.
You have to treat yourself with human standards. You have to do your... I just think the phrase, like, doing your best is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Like, to just remind yourself, like, even though you didn't do all these things, as long as you're doing, like, everything that you can, then you will get somewhere.
Yeah. Well, then the problem is... like, having the correct understanding of what you can do. Because I constantly think I can do so much more than I am capable of. But
that's true.
Anyway, that's kind of a whole thing. BoJack's shitty. He did a shitty thing this episode.
He did. It was pretty... also, like...
it's dark, too.
And, like...
devious.
I feel like his age is important in this, too. Because, I mean... I can see, like, teenagers doing some dumb shit like this, but, like, he is 50.
Yeah.
Like, he's had, like, a long time deal with these things.
This is he's essentially a father doing this to his kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it is ridiculous. And I am curious, like, what, because I think that my perspective of BoJack did change a little bit after this episode, and I am curious what our listeners think about that as well.
I definitely agree this is like the episode that got me. I was like, oh, there's more going on to this show than funny stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm wondering, for people who haven't listened to the show before, and they're listening along, if this has changed your perspective on how BoJack, like, if there is something better behind BoJack and inside of him, or if maybe he just is a shitty person.
Yeah, because this does reveal a lot.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. But okay, I think that's all we have for the episode. Do we want to get to listener stuff from last week?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So last week's discussion question was talking about, so at the end of the episode, BoJack, after Sarah Lynn sort of relapses and leaves, knowing that she's going to be in a terrible place and because of the path she's on, BoJack retreats into determinism and says that everything is society's fault. Nothing is my fault. Nothing's my responsibility because we don't have free will. And Diane starts to correct him when Todd says, let him have it. And so our question was if that was okay for him to do that. I think
we didn't
find the user.
We didn't get too much discussion on that specifically. We got a lot of discussion about determinism.
Mm-hmm. Which, of course, it was. I was trying to avoid, like, getting too deep into it because, like, it is such, like, an endless spiral.
Yeah, it was a good discussion, though, for sure.
Yeah, but we did, the first response was from Clawford, who says it wasn't the right thing to do, not only because it absolves BoJack of responsibility, but it will make it harder for him to become a better person, and also it's going to hurt him more in the long run.
I definitely agree with that, and also hurt other people too.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. But Todd doesn't realize that because he still has, I think, hope that it was just a mistake and BoJack's good and all that,
even though he had to take an angry nap.
Yeah, we had a lot of discussion about determinism, and mostly people just saying a lot about how, while it makes a little bit too much sense, if you really start to think about it, it can be a really negative way of thinking because it removes a lot of meaning away from life, I guess. But I feel like there are also, like, really positive ways to see it, like in just extending kindness towards others. I think it's a very useful tool. But yeah, there's definite... It all definitely made a lot of sense.
Yeah. There was some really, really great discussion on the Discord, some back and forths and really long paragraphs of people talking about how it works for them. It's weird. I think with it, you kind of do have to hold some kind of double think about, like, yeah, that's true, but also how does it affect me? Like, one thing that is about determinism is, like, it affects, like, explanations for things. And certainly I think it should affect how you view other people's actions. But when it comes to your own, you can't predict the future, right? Like, you cannot yourself determine the future, right? Even if it is on a certain path. How much does it really matter that you aren't actually, the steering wheel doesn't actually turn anything if, like, you feel like it's turning things, right?
Yeah, it's like, I feel like it's kind of similar to the whole, like, you know, time is a human construct, but, like, the effects of time are real.
Right. Gender, same thing.
Yeah.
The other thing that was mentioned was talking about the audience surrogate, saying that Diane
was probably that. Yeah, who said that?
It was Mighty Moo-Quack, but also Regular Mike involved in that discussion, and Martha Strike. But talking about what the generation, like, audience, the internet audience is for this show, and who do you think that is?
Yeah, well, so I feel like, considering their, like, pop culture references and stuff like that, and also, like, our main character and a lot of things, I really do feel like it's a little bit more leaning towards millennials. Also, maybe the feeling of being stuck and not really being able to be the person that you want to be and, like, be like get to where you want to go, like, that whole thing I think is relevant. But, you know, I feel like Gen Zers can see it and appreciate it for a lot of different reasons, like more just like hopelessness.
Especially when it comes to the societal use other factors.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's stuff for all of it. And yeah, the whole thing about Diane being like a surrogate for the audience, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, I feel like if you ask a lot of people, like, who their favorite character is, at least from the beginning, most of them say Diane.
Yeah.
Because they dissociate Diane with themselves.
Yeah. That's true.
Which makes sense.
Because they're all Zoes. Everyone who likes BoJack Horseman's a Zoe.
That's true. I really did enjoy, like, the conversation between, what was the ex-boyfriend's
name?
Yeah, Wayne and Diane. Just that whole thing was, I think, really strong and important.
What do you think about Wayne? I think he's a creep. He wears a bow tie.
Yeah, I think Wayne sucks.
Over plaid shirt.
Yeah, he was not.
Like a fucking nerd.
Well, he was supposed to look like a BuzzFeed writer from, like, you know, 2016 or
like
something.
Yeah, like a metrosexual. Do you remember that was the thing?
Yeah.
They invented the whole gender for being a man that doesn't stink.
Yeah, I think there was actually a South Park episode about that.
Really?
Of course. But yeah, I know that.
Have they had one on Femboys?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen every episode.
That would be interesting. I wonder if they would have the whole thing with Femboys being racist, but that's a whole other thing.
Well, they had that one episode that I told you about with the Yaoi. So good. Okay, listen. Please watch it.
I don't know.
It's so fucking good. Okay. I think that they like asked
people. Are we
going
to do a podcast on South Park? Look, I feel like that would be something.
It would be fun. I admire South Park for its creativity, okay? And it does make me laugh. But yeah, the Yaoi episode was great. Like, they took actual, like, Yaoi art, like, kind of shit. Some of it was
Yaoi
good.
Yaoi is a Japanese term for, like, gay anime?
Just, like, art of, like, usually fictional guys where, like, they make them, like, a couple.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a lot of, like, it's, like, a manga genre and everything. But in the episode, there were, like, a bunch of, like, Asian girls that were drawing Yaoi of, like, these two, like, boys that were at the school. And they were really upset. But, like, they used actual Yaoi that, like, people that watch South Park had made of those characters. So it was so out of place. It was really funny.
That's great.
It got me a little emotional.
Emotional?
Emotional.
Okay. Well, okay, I guess I'll have to watch this South Park episode. As a different thing, it did just cross my mind. Do you think the other members of Doof Media know what femboys are?
Maybe not Scott and Matt.
Do you think Ruben and Elliot know what femboys are?
Yeah.
I do too.
Okay.
I do too.
Yeah.
I hope that Scott and Matt aren't familiar with the concept of femboys.
Well, we'll show them.
What does that mean?
We'll tell them.
Okay, hey, don't Google femboys.
Googling femboys.
Yeah, you like to Google them?
Yes.
Not that it's an NSFW necessarily, inherently, but there's a lot of NSFW things associated with the term. So just ask a friend.
Your local femboy.
Ask your local femboy. You'll know when you see him.
That's true.
Yeah.
Look out for the thigh-high socks.
Yes. Yeah. The programmer socks.
Yeah.
Okay, this is getting too Gen Z. We gotta move forward. So lastly, I do want to pose the discussion question for this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty simple. Are you a Zoe or a Zelda, and why? And also, just in general, what do you think of that system of classification and how useful it is?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that I know what most people's answer are going to be for
Zoe. Everyone
what they
here
are,
listening is a Zoe.
I think that also, I feel like I know a lot of people that definitely are Zeldas that would say they're Zoes.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, whatever, but.
Well, that's funny. Interesting, because that's the opposite of all the characters in the show that we talked about.
I feel like I don't know very many people that would openly admit that they're Zeldas, because maybe they have a different perception of what having, like, depth and sadness is.
Interesting, because, like, the characters that we got on the show that would identify as Zeldas, like, they would proudly identify as Zeldas, and they think
true.
It's clearly the better identity.
Well, I think that something important to note is a lot of those characters are, like, older millennials, whereas Gen Z has, like, this weird fascination with, like, convincing people that they're, like, damaged.
That's true.
And, like,
I do that all the time.
I don't know. It
comes from my tragic childhood, you
like,
know?
I don't think that you have to have damage to be an intelligent person. No, but no. I think that some people interpret it that way, so they feel like they need to portray that in order to be, like, taken seriously, mm-hmm. which is a problem in and of itself. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very complex issue to break down, which is why it's a discussion question. So please discuss it. And then all the other things about the show. Where could they do that if they were to want to respond to the discussion question, Sebastian?
They can do that on our Reddit thread.
Mm-hmm. On the BoJack Horseman subreddit. So yes. reddit.com/r/BoJack Horseman should be on there.
Mm-hmm. You can also talk about it in our Discord.
Yeah, that's right. Because
a lot of the discussion seems to be happening in there.
Yes. doofmedia.com/Discord, I think is how you get to it. If it's not a backslash, try a normal slash. Or is a normal slash a backslash? I can't do this.
I don't know.
Just try it out. Just try your best. You'll get there. Yeah, sorry, I'm distracted now. Where else could they hear about the show? For example, any announcements about the show?
You can find us on Twitter at VHDcast.
I think that's... Oh, wait, okay, last thing before we move on. I just have, like, some stuff to talk about Doof Media.
Right, yeah.
We guested on an episode of the Doofcast recently, yeah, talking about the French Dispatch.
It was really fun. It was a good time.
So please go listen to that and listen to our wonderful discussion about Wes Anderson's film, which we really, really enjoyed.
Yeah.
As a separate thing... So Jarvis and I, we have in the past done a couple episodes of a bonus content show, which is available at the $10 level, called Doofovers, where we did media that the Doofcast doesn't do, which is like anime. And we just, Sebastian had just finished Neon Genesis Evangelion, and it was really, really impactful, actually. Like, it really, really impacted me a lot. And I'm still thinking about it, like, 2 days later. And I think I'm going to be thinking about it for a while. This is the kind of thing where I'm definitely going to need an avenue to talk about it for a while.
Oh, yeah?
So I would really, really like to do that with you and or Jarvis as well.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we should have Jarvis on to do that.
Yeah, because he's watched the show.
I'll have to do a little thinking about it. Because, yeah, I was mostly focused very much on, like, all the art style stuff mm-hmm. and not paying a lot of attention to the actual words.
Oh, I have to watch the ending again. So, yeah. So for those who don't know, and we'll finish the episode in a second. So for those who don't know, Neon Genesis, like ran out of budget, I think near the end, basically. Yeah,
they were low the whole time.
Yeah. But... And then at the end, they basically like had like nothing left. And so the last like couple episodes, I knew this information going into it. I did not expect it to be this much. A lot of it's literally just drawings with, like, voiceovers.
It's great, though, like, considering, mm-hmm. like,
they
the
do
themes
a very good
and,
job.
And everything about yeah. just reality and stuff.
Yes.
It worked out, like, even if they had the budget, I think that we definitely would have preferred anything like that.
Well, I think it's a bad, like, ending to, like, a show. Like, it doesn't fit, but as, mm-hmm. like, an art piece or a supplementary thing,
right.
I think it's fantastic. I'm excited to see the movie, which is supposed to be the real ending. Yeah. Anyway, I've been talking about too much about Neon Genesis. It's fantastic. best anime I've seen by far, and
wow.
I like anime. I'm not, yeah, I genuinely
it's
enjoy
not,
it.
Future Diary is not the best anime you've ever seen.
I'm sorry, it doesn't quite. We could do an episode about that too.
I will say that I enjoy watching Future Diary more than Neon Genesis, but I do think that Neon Genesis is a better show.
Okay,
obviously,
sure.
Future Diary.
Different strokes. So, okay, I think that's it.
Yep.
Can you bow us out with our animal fact of the day?
Today's animal fact of the day is that as shrimp are added to a school, their problem-solving abilities improve exponentially.